It is time to take you on the road to 2023. Welcome to our flagship program on the 2023 general elections coverage. Every Saturday at 8 a.m., we bring updates on the elections from the candidates to the voting and other related issues. The Road to 2023 is produced by Chioma Ezenwafo. Now today, let's talk about the quest for a riverine governor. River State has a population of about 7 million and is divided along riverine and upland by default. Statistics show that about 60% of the total land mass is water, and communities along the waterways are known and called riverine communities, while communities within the northern part of the state are known and called upland. Since the inception of River State, political activities and sharing of positions have always been considered using this divide. Dr. Peter Odili governed River State between 1999 and 2007, Celestine Omehia 2007, Chibike Amechi between 2007 and 2015, and Yesomweke from 2015 till date. These governors have all been from upland and have been at the helm of affairs of the state for 24 years. In fact, many argue that giving another upland another tenor through the Ogoni would mean upland would have been had an unbroken 32 years at the governorship seat without any consideration for the riverine area. Now, currently, there are five governorship candidates from the riverine extraction. What is the possibility of a riverine governor emerging in 2023? Joining us to have this conversation and more is a Calabari stakeholder, Douglas Doddy Manuel. Good morning, Mr. Douglas. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Thank you very much for making the time. So, I've, you know, read a few things, made a few statements, but what on the streets, if you were to describe riverine upland to a person who maybe is coming to River State for the first time, how would you, away from a textbook definition, how would you break it down for them to understand it?
The River Zijo.
The River Zijo.
Period.
Okay.
Yeah. The Calabaris, the Okrikas, the Bonnies, Pobo, Okoro, and the rest of them.
Is there a way to identify, you know, sometimes, like in some states, people who are from a particular part of the state, they tell you, oh, they are known by this. There's a mark on their face. There's a way they talk. There are foods they eat. Are there physical things that can differentiate a riverine person from an upland person?
They are literal. Physical things?
Yeah, things that I can see. When I see you, I say, oh, this man is from riverine, without even engaging with you.
Oh, okay. They're human beings.
So no physical markers, no identifiers that I can see?
No.
So I have to engage with you first.
Is there anything you can see that differentiates a Nigerian from a Ghanaian?
You don't want me to answer that question, honestly. Okay. So far we've had upland governors, as they are called. What do you think is the reason for this, for a consistency in getting the number one man from a particular part of the state?
Okay. Our actual demography has never been confirmed empirically, maybe through electoral processes.
Okay.
We have a manipulated demographical figure.
Manipulated?
Of course.
How so?
And, for instance, it is presumed that on paper that local government A is of 300,000 population, local government B is of 50,000 population. So after a dry vote of relatively 5,000, 7,000, in the 50,000, you have maybe 45,000 unaccounted votes, potential votes, paper votes. The stakeholders of that LGA can scramble for that figure, that paper figure.
Okay.
And put it in as their electoral, as their result. In the 300,000 quote unquote LG, after voting maybe 10,000 actual votes, they may have 290,000 to play around with. And so it is generally presumed that the figures are there.
Yeah.
We have the figures, we have the population. What population? There is no such actual population. 2023 will teach us a lot of things in actuality.
So if you believe there has been this manipulation, and maybe you've even suggested who is doing it, to what end? What is the benefit?
Could there be a benefit to debate?
I mean, if somebody toys with numbers, messes with figures, there has to be an end game. It must lead somewhere.
No, the end game is to be in power, to perpetuate yourself in power. That's it. When you manipulate the game, the numbers, it's to win the election.
Okay.
What else there? To win the election. That's your essence of manipulating it.
So, now we begin to hear it's our turn. From the way things have played out, the Riverine appear as the disadvantaged group. And so, now conversations are around, oh, it's time for us to get in power, to take over. But what would a Riverine governor do differently? Before you even answer that question, let me take this. Traditional rulers from Calabari ethnic nationalities say it's their turn to produce a governor for River State in the 2023 election. The Calabari chiefs made this known during an interactive session with the APC governorship candidate Tonya Cole. The session was organized by the Owame Calabari Committee of Friends at Harristown, Oboma, in Degama local government area. Chairman of Calabari Council of Chiefs, His Royal Highness Diamond Tobe West, and the presidents of Ijo Traditional Rulers and Opinion Leaders Association of Nigeria, Odumem Gbatubo, in a communique maintained that their choice is a unanimous one.
It is our desire and plea to other ethnic nationalities to give us the privilege and support to present one of our best. The 2023 River State Governorship election presents a unique opportunity for the Calabari people in our collective desire to offer leadership that will take our dear state to the next level of development and progress. We must therefore forge a united front and present a common alternative to River's people.
We are sending signal to other ethnic nationalities. Our brothers and sisters, we cannot do it alone. They have to come together. The Calabari people have suffered. They have paid their dues. So we are begging them. Victory is assured in all means.
Okay. So that's the position of the people from the Riverine extraction. And I'm sure you'll help us explain a little further. So if you're telling me, oh, we've always had power come from this part of the state. We've always had it this way. Let's have it differently because it's our turn, because we are disadvantaged. What will the implementation of that do differently?
Okay, let me put it this way. First and foremost, in a contemporary world, a man in my position should not be tribally sensitized.
Okay, I like that you're saying that.
Let us have that clear.
Mm.
I'm not a tribalist. I'm not in for tribalism. But we are in a society with limited social growth, limited sociological growth, limited sociopolitical maturity and understanding. And so when a segment or an aspect of the society feel unincluded in governance, the government is of the people and it's by the people and it's for the people. Now, when they feel that they are not a part of government and they are able, rightly or wrongly, to attribute that to their ethnicity,
okay,
they wait for their turn. They agitate for their turn. Now, instead of an inclusive system, what we have in River State presently, with all due respect to the executive governor, is tribalistic government. A governor that will tell you that only your own can do it for you. And look at other tribes and tell them in Tor that he will build several more flyovers in one or two mono-ethnic local governments. And there is nothing you can do about it. When it's your turn, do it. Under such circumstances, other tribes will agitate for their turn. And the Kalabarese are not known for tribalism. They are open-minded. As a matter of fact, in 1998, the Kalabarese had the power to swing the governorship to anywhere they so wish. So that's the snap of their finger. And for equity purposes, not because the Kalabari man has been a governor before, there was an eminent Kalabari son in the APP then, Ebenezer Isokarari. There was also an eminent Kalabari son who later on became the best senator in Nigeria of all time, sponsoring the highest number of legislative bills in the history of Nigerian legislature, Senator Martin Zielo, including the cabotage bill that became the cabotage act or law in Nigeria. These were all Kalabari candidates, but the Kalabari power block, the powers that be, said, no, let us give it to our upland brothers. Why? Because the Kalabaris have been eminent, have been historically, politically eminent. They have occupied positions at the national level, international exposure, and you name it. And so it's important to have equalization, to have political equalization. We are one reverse people. So that advantage does not, we didn't appreciate it. So it's like there is need for political equalization for us to grow together as a people. It has to be good for you and then it's good for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying naturally, the riverine man doesn't really care about ethnicity and all of this, but they've been pushed to this position.
Yes.
Would you say that the riverine has not benefited from government in any way? Would you say, oh, we cannot mention one or two things that this administration and that administration has brought to this part of the state?
Development is relative. Our appreciation for development is relative.
Okay.
I would say we have not benefited anything from this administration.
Relatively speaking, what is your definition of development?
Development, for me, should be holistic.
Okay.
An improvement of the people's lifestyle holistically. So when you say development, I want to see what you're doing in Ministry of Information. Our view stimulated the information industry. How many jobs have you created in the information industry? What is the revenue the state is generating from the information industry? And so when we look at the environmental industry, you look at how have you made waste disposal commercial? How have you commercialized waste disposal? What are the derivatives of waste in the 21st century? If we understand these things, we won't see waste littering our streets, because that would be money we are looking at. You look at health. How accessible is quality health service to the common man, and how affordable is it to the common man? You look at education. What is the quotient of education in Nigeria, in River State, from primary to university?
Okay.
And the curriculum of their education. What is the quotient of immigration, educational immigration that we have in Rivers? These are the things that inform development.
Okay, Mr. Douglas, I'll have to hold you there. We have to take a break, and coming up next, of course, we'll be talking some more about the possibility of a riverine governor. Stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
back. It still is Road to 2023 on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. We're talking the quest for a riverine governor right here in River State. And my guest is Douglas Doddy Emmanuel. He is a Calabari stakeholder helping us find the riverine governor. You're welcome once again, Mr. Douglas.
Thank you.
All right, so before the break, we were talking about a couple of things. I believe you wanted to highlight the event where there was a call, you know, for choosing a man from this extraction, for choosing a person who would represent. It really is about representation based on your assessment. So we have not been there. Now we need to be represented. Now let me ask you a question before I even get historical. If this administration took what it has done in, you know, some people say development is centered in Ubiabo and Falga. Let's say that there are flyovers in the riverine area as well, just the same way it is here. Just the same level of structure put up here. With people still complaining about, oh, human capital development, you know, there are no jobs, there are no whatever. You just get flyovers or some semblance of. Would the riverine be satisfied?
No.
Okay.
I don't think the upland is satisfied with a plethora of flyovers all over the place.
Okay.
One of the questions you ask yourself, what is the opportunity cost of a flyover? Port Harcourt today has tremendous flood all over the place. When it rains, everywhere is flooding. What does that tell us? Poor environmental impact assessment with all these so-called projects up and down. There is no concise urban developmental framework upon which these projects or into which these projects fit.
Okay.
So when you want to do road construction, you look at how does that affect the environment? How does that affect the economy? What businesses are affected at that time? How do you ameliorate or palliate the businesses that are affected? What? How much money are you spending on this project, and how much of that money is coming back through taxation? If it's road construction, is it through allotonous technology or allotonous technical personnel from Germany, Julius Berger, or autochthonous or indigenous companies? So how do you relate indigenous companies to foreign companies and develop our manpower? These are the considerations. It's not just about road. The road is the last thing. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And so when you say development, if these flyovers are not originally appropriated in the budget, it means we don't know about them. You just get up and throw things at us that we have not discussed. If they had been in the budget, it will imply that our representatives have looked at this project, they have had rigorous debates, they have, you know, considered how it will affect their people, they would have considered various dynamics of development that are tied to the project, and then at the end of the day approved it in the budget, then we are looking forward to it. And we'll then be talking about budgetary implementation. But this one, you wake up from your slumber, probably you saw yourself flying over a flyover. You say there has to be flyover immediately. You get up here, you go there, and someone criticizes you that, no, we don't think this is appropriate. You say, in fact, I'm going to do another one. And you do another one.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want us to dwell on the flyovers for too long, but most projects claim to solve a problem. That's the idea behind starting something. And of course, the flyovers are dedicated to easing traffic in the metropolis, helping you get from point A to point B without the initial stress. You might point to one or two places where it's working and other places where it's questionable as to whether or not. So as regards a project and whether it fulfills its intended purpose, statement of problem, profile solution, implementation, and then ease.
You see, the word project in this part of the world has been abused.
Okay.
Politically speaking, or politico-administratively speaking. You have policies, plans, programs, and projects. And so for a government, it's not about brick and mortar. It's about policy or a plan to take the people from one, from level A to level B. And so taking them from level A to level B, you look at them holistically. You look at transport. For instance, if you're, what is you, this administration's policy on transport? If you look at transport, transport policy should directly impact on road construction. And when I mean road construction, I mean urban development. You must know transport routes. You must, it should be geared towards improving and expanding and opening transport routes. In opening transport routes, you also put commuters into consideration. That is why you maintain these roads. Because if the roads are not good, it will affect the quality of transportation, the maintenance of cars. It will impact on that and also impact on the price.
All right.
So these are all considerations. It's not just you wake up from slumber and there is a building there and then the project. How many projects has he done? How many projects has he not done? How many projects has he completed? Project. What about your lifestyle? Do you have health cover? Your education, what's the quality of your education? Do you have access to education? Is it affordable to you? What about the old aged? How are we taking care of our old people? Is there any facility in River State that takes... I'm not even want to go into pension, but how is there any facility in River State that goes that... When I mean facility, I'm talking about both infrastructure and policy that takes care of the old aged.
All right, we'll be taking your thoughts shortly. The phone lines will be open. You can send your messages to WhatsApp and, of course, Facebook. We're streaming live, so you can watch as you listen. It's facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH. Before I get there, let's look to history. Now, at least the River Rhine has held sway over River State at some point. Melford Okilo, who was from Ijaw Extraction, was governor from 1979 to 1983. Rufus Ada George, although Okilo would eventually be classified as a Bielsan following the splitting of the state, but I mean that has to count for something, don't you agree?
Well, it sure should account for something. But we are looking at this particular republic, this particular democratic sojourn,
the Fourth Republic.
From 1999 and so on. If we are looking back, if we are to act on that, the River Rhine had been at advantage. And why we are agitating, why you see the agitation, is because of our magnanimity. It's like that magnanimity is a mystic. You give power to people who among them have given it to those that do not appreciate unanimity. You know, we have had fantastic Ikwerre people, Obiwale, Okogbule Wonodi, Dominic Anusha. These are great Ikwerre men. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but you see, sorry to interrupt you. The way you describe power, it sounds, the context in which you present it, it sounds like it's not in the hands of people anymore. Like, people don't vote anymore. It's given. We gave power. We allowed... These things suggest that people really don't have the power to decide.
I beg your pardon. Are you in River State? Are you in Nigeria?
I am in River State. I am in Nigeria.
People have power. Elections. Results are written. Yeah. In the last 2019 election, the results that INEC, they were announcing results. What was his name? The candidate of the AAC that was leading at that time. Awara. I haven't won 17 out of 23 local government. The college, the counting of the result, the announcement of results was stopped for 21 days, and new results were concocted and announced to the effect of Wike being the winner. That is the kind of society in which we have found ourselves.
Now, yes, we have problems in this system. It's a flawed system. We agree. And development, we're working towards, but...
Look, if votes count, do you know the implication of vote counting?
Yes.
It will take its course. If votes count, you will begin to convince the people why you should vote for them. The first time, they may make mistakes. But voter education will come. They will begin to understand the dynamics. The dynamics that look, this person said he will do this. The other person said he will do that. You will begin to have issues you are discussing.
I refuse to hold that position, Mr. Douglas, because now I understand what you're saying.
Mm.
We are heading towards a position where things should work well.
Yes.
We as the media have a responsibility to voter education.
Yes.
So while we understand the situation,
yes,
I have to paint the ideal picture of this is where we need to be.
Of course.
So when you keep using we gave power, we allowed, it doesn't promote the idea of the ideal destination.
Okay, let me explain to you. In 1998, I said the riverine gave power. The riverine gave power in that the riverine unanimously supported.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The riverine were persuaded towards political equalization.
All right.
And say, no, the upland, they are part of River State. We need to grow together. We need to develop. There has to be some form of psychological unanimity, psycho-administrative unanimity, that look, we are in this together. And that is what should be promoted, that we are one people. If you come to River State, if you look at us as different people, and then treat the Ikwerre man differently from how you treat the Kalabari man, or the Bonny man, or the Opobo man, or the Ogoni man, it will be problematic because everybody will look for his turn. Now, that's where we have found ourselves. As a matter of fact, the agitation for riverine governorship should indicate to you that this has been the case.
Interesting. It's time to hear from you. The quest for a riverine governor is the focus this morning on Road to 2023. Please go straight to the point. Keep your comments brief, civil, concise, and of course make sense, as I like to say. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and of course 0817-923-0009. Here is a friendly reminder.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sam.
Morning, what's your name?
This is Dr. Dennis Onyawara.
All right, Dr. Dennis, please go ahead.
There's a song, Follow Who No Road, oh. Follow Who No Road. I don't know who that guy in the studio is, but from the way he speaks, you can trust the effort of Kalabari National College. All of us who have been in River State, I'm an Igbo man, but I've been here since 1978, know the quality of people in River State. And every Igbo man will attest that if you are working with a Kalabari man, you are safe, very safe. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dennis. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your name?
My brother. Yes, Chinke Daniel Imogeto Zuako.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes. You see, what the guest is saying, I think he's correct, but I think I have my own opinion about the two things that are being constructed by Wike. I may not be Wike's fan, but I ask. I think it is to decongest the traffic in Port Harcourt City. Because I know very well, the flyovers being built there is not the Ikwerre Town Hall where Ikwerre people gather. It is a kind of road to decongest the traffic, like I said, where every Ikwerre man, every Kalabari man, every Igbo man, every Yoruba man in the city, for them to have a free flow of traffic. Actually, I am not saying that other sectors of the economy or the state should not be looked into, but I think it serves everybody. That's my take this morning. Thank you very much.
Chicken and egg from him again. Thank you very much, Inka Daniel. Over to WhatsApp. Good morning, Oracle and Douglas. My take is that the Riverine / Oceanic River State missed the opportunity to get one of their own, Dakoko Peterside, elected as governor in 2015 when they sentimentally collaborated with Jonathan to install Wiki as a governor back then. Opportunity comes but once, they say, Barry Johnson. Do you agree with this position, Mr. Douglas?
No, not quite. May I respond to the flyover?
By all means.
Okay. I am not against flyover. What I'm saying is this. Projects of government must be part of a government policy and plan that should be rigorously debated and appropriated for. Flyovers should be component to a comprehensive urban developmental master plan. And in a society like River State, when you are planning development of River State, it's not about flyover in Port Harcourt. That does not decongest traffic. Port Harcourt was designed for a given number of people, for a given population. So you open the frontiers, you open other local governments, you extend development to other places. Have you been to Andoni and see the tourism potential of Andoni? Yeah, you have dolphins, you have elephants, and so on. Have you been to Abuja and see what the people are going through? Have you been to Abisa? An Oceania community with oil, with tremendous forest, and no access, no telecommunication? Look, let me tell you something. A couple of days ago, I had argument with some of my friends and relatives, and we came up with something. We talk about the components of a city, what makes a city. He said a city can be defined as a permanent and densely settled place with administratively defined boundaries whose members work primarily on non-agricultural tasks. They said cities generally have extensive system of housing, extensive system of transportation, extensive systems of sanitation, extensive system of utilities, extensive system of land use, production of goods, and communication.
All right.
So if you look at this standard and you look at the administration we have today in River State, where do you place water resources? Where do you place sanitation? Where do you place housing? How affordable and available, is the house to the common man? Accommodation.
All right, we have to put a pin on that. I have to take more calls. Hello, good morning. Call back if you can. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Morning, what's your name?
My name is Precious from Bonny Island.
Go ahead, Precious.
I'm an Antony.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for the sign in the studio. You're just speaking my mind of, like, you're speaking the mind of the Riverline place. Like, the development just, like, pointed on two local governments. The last time I went to Andoni, Ungo, the local government of Andoni, I was ashamed. Like, the place was so backward, like, everywhere, dirty, bush. I think this is the head of all Andoni. This place is not even developed. I wish the developer can reach the river line so that the Port Harcourt is too, people are too many, so that people can fall back into the local government, then more development will go on.
All right.
Not only in two local governments will just be developed, and the place, they are saying that the place is overpopulated, but you don't want to do the other side of the state.
All right, thank you very much. This is as much as I can take from you. Over to WhatsApp. I totally agree with what your guest is saying, but it's contrary to when Amaechi was in power. Amaechi carried every local government along, but the Wiki administration has been central. Ainda says that on WhatsApp. Kindly ask your guests to clarify if the clamor is for a Kalabari governor or a Riverine governor, because there's actually a difference.
Okay, there are two things I'll say in that regard. Can I say?
Yes, please.
Okay. The clamor is for a Riverine governor, but at the moment it's apparent that the Kalabaris are at the forefront. You have fundamentally two very eminent Kalabari sons. industrialists, people like Dumolu Lubricks, there for the accord. And then you have a man that has advised the World Economic Forum, that has advised the World Bank, in the person of Tony Cole. The other day, Tony Patrick Cole of the APC. Mm. The other day, I overheard him talking about the about a village he visited in Kana, local government, where there is no light, no electricity connection. There is no electricity there. Now, this is not river, this is land, upland. But there is no electricity. And he was astonished that how can an Ogoni community, that is an upland community, would they not have electricity? Do they not have... What does the ministry... What do they do in the Ministry of Power? Do they take stock of... What do they do? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I get you.
It's astonishing what we've considered as government in this part of the world.
But I have a question.
Please,
in the riverine extraction, is there such a thing as minority and majority riverine?
For history purposes.
Wow.
For instance, I wouldn't particularly say, because we are Ijaws. Okay, let me say there are.
The fact that you're struggling to answer this question, I'm not sure what to make of it.
How do I put it? There is a dynamics. The riverine are historically conscious. Are history conscious. Let me put it away. Are history conscious. And so, would you say the Opobo man is the minority to the Calabari man? That's what I don't want to... I don't want to say that he's a minority.
So let me give you context. For this conversation, now it's riverine versus
okay, for the purposes of political decision-making,
okay,
there could be minorities, yeah. I think there could be minorities.
Where does the Calabari fall in the purpose of political decision-making?
I consider them a majority within the context.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Over to Facebook. Justice says, now that the major political parties have chosen their candidates from the riverine area, is there any political issue again? Josh Unique Jr. says the possibility is very high for a riverine governor to emerge come 2023. Whether we agree or not, the two political parties that are more rooted are the APC and PDP, and these parties zone their governorship to the riverine. Many will not agree to this, but they should understand that politics is a game of numbers and structure. OBCK is asking, how would you say we have a tribalistic governor? Let's bring back records from 1999 to 2007. The Calabaris employed all their natives into River State Secretariat. Go there today, and the evidence is clear. And of course, Tamono Tekena David says the possibility is 100% because the ruling party and the major opposition party are candidates from the riverine. It's now left for the masses to make their choice in voting. We'll be taking a break shortly. Do you think now more than ever this is the best chance the riverine stands to actually produce a governor?
Will I say the best? I find it difficult making such comparison.
Historically speaking, from 1999, of course, since we're looking at the
Republic. It's the best, because like I want to agree with someone there that that was emphatic on the two political parties. Look, certain parties cannot win election as at today in River State.
Really?
Because you have traditional power block.
You spoke about the AAC not too long ago, and
the
how it
AAC trounced Wiki. Because the AAC candidate was adopted by a major political party, the APC in River State.
Interesting.
That is the truth. Not, I mean, before 48 hours to the election, did anybody know Awara? No one knew Awara until APC said, we are taking Awara. So even today, you see, Asare Dokubo, Dokubo Asare said something. He quoted someone as saying Calabaris are perpetually at war with themselves. But I believe this time around they will come united, because if you look at the plethora of candidates, you understand what I'm saying? I am more emphatic on the two major parties, the APC and the PDP, fielding a Ijaw candidate. So now, as Ijaw people, we need to put our best foot forward,
okay,
and say, look, which of these candidates have what it takes, global reach, acumen, leadership, virtue, and what have you to give us the development in ideal sense.
All right, so we'll take another break, and coming up next, of course, we wrap up the conversation on the quest for a riverine governor. Stay with us.
Feel the politicking.
Track the politics.
Listen to the candidates.
Keep tabs on their campaign promises.
Follow the views of those who agree.
And the reviews of those who don't.
Understand the outcomes.
On Road 2023.
Welcome back. It still is Road to 2023. Douglas Doddy Manuel, a Calabari stakeholder, is my guest for today. We're down to our final seconds. Mr. Douglas, do you believe that having your brother in power is a guarantee of development to your region?
Like I said from the start, I cannot think in that direction. I believe in development. I believe in public service. I believe in... I'm a tribalized person. I cannot vote for you because you are my brother. That cannot be the reason I vote for you. The other day, I overheard this man, the APC candidate, Toyinko, describing River State as an industrially virgin land, that there is a need to guide the energy of our youth into industrialization and open up developmental spaces. That is the interland. Go to Abuja, go to K. Go to the outskirts of Ogoni, this area, develop the place, industrially speaking, not necessarily brick and mortar, to engage our youth. That's what we should be talking about, and not about me, my brother.
All right. Based.
And someone else talked there about Calabari is putting people, employing their people in secretariat. That's very wrong and inappropriate. Calabari's have not been governors before River State, and have not been in charge of employment. Those were the days when merit counted.
Okay.
And so based on their academic exposure, merit, I mean, they are pioneers in everything. The first doctor in University of Calabari, first lawyer at Calabari,
yeah,
first
Dr. Douglas,
and so on. So
I have to go now. Thank you very much for your time. We truly appreciate it. Have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Same to you.
All right, and that is as much as can happen in today's edition of Road to 2023. Join us next Saturday at 8 a.m. to catch the updates on the elections, from candidates to voting and other related issues. Remember, the Road to 2023 is produced by Chioma Ezenwafo. Stay safe.